Greetings to you, brothers and sisters. It's good to be back with you here again. It's been a while since we've been here, and I've missed you, and I hope that you have missed us. And I want to remind you that your faith in Christ, your love, your obedience, it's very, very important. It's something that is valuable to me. And I want to encourage you to continue in that. This morning, my heart was moved when we were singing, "Oh, spread the tidings round, the Comforter has come." I don't know if you caught the words. It says here how the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. The power of God to work in your life to bring you deliverance from the bondage of sin. It is not only possible, it is God's will for you without any question. God wants to work in your heart and in your life to free you from the bondage of sin. And then it talks about in the last verse, the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of sin, should in His image shine. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, can actually experience the transforming work of God's grace so that you are no longer just a hopeless, helpless, worthless sinner, but you are actually a person where God is working in you, transforming you into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus, where you actually have now the fruit of the Spirit in your life and the life of Jesus Christ in you, making the difference. I wasn't planning on preaching on this, but I'll tell you, I was so excited about this. I felt like I couldn't just let that go by. The power of God for every person who believes. God's desire to work in every single life. And that means you and me. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a great God. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And He is able to save to the uttermost, completely, any person who comes to Him. Well, Randy talked a lot about those things. I'm not going to preach that message, but I just had to get that overflowing out of my heart. Had to get it out and share it with you. We're going to look at a different topic here today. It's one the Bible talks so much about, and it's one that we need to be aware of all the time in our lives. There was a phrase that was brought about back in the times of the World War. It went like this: "Loose lips sink ships." Did you ever hear that before? Loose lips sink ships. What did that mean? In the time of the war, it was very important that what the military was doing would be kept as secret as possible, so that the enemy would not find out what was happening, so that they actually could work to defeat the United States. And so they came up with this phrase, "loose lips sink ships." There's a lot of danger in loose lips. The Bible talks much about it. We're going to focus on a certain area of our speech here today. It's a topical message. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bible, you can open it there, starting at verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. But I'm going to be looking at a lot of different scripture in a lot of different places. I'm not going to focus just on this passage. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. He says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. As you look in your heart today, the treasure of your heart, what is in your heart, what is there? Is it good things? And out of that treasure you are bringing forth good things? Or when you look in your heart, is it evil things? And then as you're living your life and as you're speaking, you're bringing out evil things. Jesus gives us a very understandable picture here. It's out of the treasure of your heart that you live your life, that you do your deeds, that you speak your words. Speech is something that is very important for all of us. It's an area that we can use for good, and it's an area that we can use for evil. James chapter 3, verse 2, James tells us that if any man offend not in word, in his speech, that is a perfect man, or you might say a mature person, a person that is the way he's supposed to be. He does not offend in his words. James chapter 1, verse 19, it says this. Good advice for us. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I have a confession for you. It's something I have been working on, trying to work on in my life. I'm a person that's quick to speak. That has gotten me into different problems. It's something that God's helping me with. But I'm trying to develop greater discipline in my speech. We need to be slow to speak, to make sure that the things that we are saying are actually good things and appropriate things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Bible tells us, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's very important that the things that we are speaking are true, that they are accurate, that they are in fact right, that they properly represent reality. That is critically important. Because when we speak lies, when we speak error, there are consequences that come out of that. There are things that result from that which are not good. We do not want to be doing those kinds of things. Your speech will help you to build and to maintain good relationships. It can help us to work constructively, to accomplish things, and to solve problems. But inappropriate speech, bad speech, can damage relationships. It can damage people. It can be very, very destructive and create many, many problems. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have the ability, by the way that you speak, to either be bringing life to people, to be bringing them truth, to be bringing them encouragement, help, the things that they need. You have that ability in your tongue. Or you can bring death to people. You can destroy people. You can bring people down by the things that you say. What we're going to look at and focus on here today is some types of speech to avoid. And what fascinated me as I was studying this subject, this is a subject God's been working in my life on for quite some time. And as I studied through this subject, I discovered that the Bible has a lot of different expressions, a lot of different words, a lot of different ways to describe pretty much the same thing. It just doesn't say it just one way. It says it a lot of different ways, a lot of different angles. We're going to see that as we look at this subject. We're talking about slander today. Slander. What is it? We know it's not good, but what exactly is it? To slander someone means to make false statements about another person to their harm. That is slander. Another definition, false and malicious statements. Malice means where we have the desire to hurt. We have the desire to do bad to someone else. That's malice. Evil report. False accusation. It's interesting. When you look in your Bible, the word slander and then the two words together, false accuser, very, very close. If not exactly the identical thing. A slanderer and a false accuser. The Greek word here, which I'm not a Greek scholar, I'll tell you that, but sometimes it's helpful to understand these words. The word is diabolos. Diabolos. Do you know what that means? It means a devil. That word is translated in most places, the devil. But in some places, it's translated as slanderer or false accuser. And that's what the devil does, is he accuses us night and day, okay, and tries to find fault with us. We do not want to be like the devil. We do not want to be there in slander and false accusation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, it's talking there about the bishops and the deacons, their character, and then also that of their wives. It says this, "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers." Not slanderers, ladies. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." So we have slander. We have false accusation. Another one that the Bible talks about is false witness. Okay, bearing false witness or giving false witness. And usually when we think about that, we think about that in terms of some type of a legal proceeding, right? Where you're called upon to testify as to what are the facts of this case. And it definitely applies there, absolutely. But false witness is broader than that. It's the witness, it's the testimony that you give, it's what you say about another person. Is it true or is it false? If you are sharing things that are false about another person, you are a false witness. And that is sin. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. "Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor." Proverbs 6, verse 19. These are the things that God hates. God hates these things. "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." God hates it. He hates that type of thing. I think it's common sense, but it's worth just saying it. Let us not assume that everything that we hear is true. Pretty straightforward, right? There's so much information that's going on, that's flying around. You get into talking about the virus that's going on, all the hoopla related to the virus. I've heard so many statements, and I've wondered sometimes, how do you know that? Is that really true? People draw conclusions, and then they do this, they do that, and it just becomes very, very confusing. We want to make sure that the things that we are saying are actually true and not make false accusations. Let's look at some other words that deal with this subject. One of them is tale-bearing. The Bible talks about tale-bearing, carrying a tale or carrying a story. Okay? This is a person that goes around and spreads information. A tale-bearer. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. See, a talebearer has to tell everything they know. But there are situations where it's not appropriate to do so. Okay? It's something you should keep to yourself and not go around spreading a bunch of bad information. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. God says you shall not do that. You're not to run around to and fro bearing tales and telling stories. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Why is this so important? It's in this proverb. Proverbs 26, 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. The fighting comes to an end when you don't have a talebearer. Because a talebearer is stirring up strife, stirring up conflict, setting people against each other. It's very, very destructive. Here's another word. The Bible uses this word. Whispering. Did you hear me? It's hard to hear with the fans. Whispering. A whisperer. What's a whisperer? A whisperer is someone who is talking behind the back of other people. They're whispering. See, that's what's so difficult about some of these things, is when someone is being talked about and that person isn't there, they have no opportunity to defend themselves. They have no opportunity to set the record straight if something's being said that isn't true. So it can be very, very damaging, very destructive. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. When a person is whispering, and they're saying, do you know what's bad about this person? You know your friend over here? Do you really know what your friend is like? Do you really know what your friend is doing? And they're whispering. Separates a friendship. Destroys the relationship by whispering. Here's another word. Backbiting. Backbiting. Now those of us with young children, ladies, especially mothers, do you remember the times when your children would bite you? Especially like for a nursing mother. I know my wife had that experience a number of times. child bites, it does not feel good. It hurts. And you do something about it. You do something to teach that, even if it's a little baby, you do something to teach them, don't do that. That does not feel good. But that's front biting. The Bible talks about back biting. Being bitten in the back. What do? It's not easy to deal with. It's not easy to stop. And it really, really hurts. This is secretly, and sometimes with deceit or with disguise, speaking evil of others. I'm just going to throw this out to you. I'm just going to lay it on the table. Any coward can talk behind someone's back. Any person can do that. But it takes real courage to actually face another person and legitimately, properly address an issue or deal with a shortcoming that that person has or maybe a sin in that person's life. It's a whole different situation when you're looking eye to eye. Had a situation like this not that long ago where there was a certain person and this person had a problem, and it was absolutely true that there was a problem there. Okay, it was sin. And people were talking about this person. It came to my ears. And I was grieved with what I was observing. And I was wrestling with this situation because I have a relationship with this person. And I didn't want to see this person continue stuck in this sin. At the same time, I didn't want to see our relationship damaged. And so it was very sensitive, a great concern. I was praying, I was asking God to show me what to do and how to address this, and finally I did. God worked it out that we could approach this subject. And you know what happened? God opened this individual's heart. And when I shared, it was open reception. There was a clear recognition that what's going on isn't good. We opened up the Scriptures. We went from Scripture to Scripture. We talked about the issue that was there. There was faith in the Word of God. There was acceptance of the truth. There was change in the life. And it's a beautiful thing to see this day. But you see, it takes actual care and concern for a person to share directly with that person. You don't need any of that to be a backbiter or a whisperer or a talebearer. Proverbs 25, verse 23, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." Don't be surprised if you're a slanderer, if you're a backbiter, if you're a talebearer, that people are not real happy with you. Don't be surprised about it. If they're upset with you, don't be surprised. That's one of the ways the Bible says you respond to deal with it. To let a person know, I don't appreciate it. I don't like what you are doing. Romans chapter 1, verse 30 talks about people who have turned their backs on God and they have gone their own way into a life of just unrestrained sin. And one of the things it says there in Romans 1:30, it says backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, included in the list is backbiters. Beware. Here's another term. Double-tongued. Now, I'm going to tell you something about a person that I've never met, but really interesting story. This was a tenant of my brother-in-law. Lived in his house. He had a forked tongue. He actually cut the tip of his tongue so that it went into two pieces. Looked like a snake's tongue. He had a double tongue. I didn't even see it, and I never forgot it. I know my brother-in-law never forgot it. The double tongue. What does the Bible mean when it talks about being double-tongued? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 mentions that. Not double-tongued. Well, there's some other words we use. Two-faced. You ever hear of two-faced? It's the same as double-tongued. When I'm with this person, I say one thing. When I'm over here with this person, I say something completely different. Okay? Two-faced. Double-tongued. Single word for it is hypocrite. Where you had in the ancient Greek theater one actor who played multiple parts. They put on different masks. Spoke different things. Hypocrisy. It is something to avoid. Ask yourself this question. Why is it that people slander others and go about tail-bearing and backbiting and these types of things? I have several of these. Maybe you have some thoughts also. I don't know. One, there is a lack of wisdom and good judgment and an awareness of what is actually being done. I think sometimes we do not realize the damage that we can do by the things that we say. Hopefully, in our discussion today, we're recognizing just how damaging it can be. Proverbs 10:18, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what he's doing and what results from it. Number two, there is malicious intent. We're actually trying to hurt another person. And we just have to be honest about that if that's where we're at. Okay, if that is what's motivating you, is I'm angry with this person, I'm upset with this person did this to me, this person didn't do what they were supposed to do, and I'm upset about it, so now I'm going to lash back. It goes right along with what Randy said previously. We're not to return evil for evil. We are not to retaliate. That is not of Christ. That's the old man. That's the old way. That's the flesh wanting to operate. Proverbs 25, verse 18. "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow." Ouch. If you get hit with any of those, it hurts. It destroys and can bring death. Proverbs 18, verse 8. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." When you find out other people are slandering you and they're speaking ill of you, you don't feel good. It hurts you. You begin to ask a lot of questions, and it can be a real struggle. I want to say this. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as believers in Jesus Christ, this is not something that we should be doing. Now, we have to recognize that because we are following Christ, we are going to have this experience. There will be people that speak ill of us, even if it's not legitimate. Okay? There will be those who cast out our names as if it's trash because we're following Christ. Because we're doing what is right. Jesus said, if they do it to you, he said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. Don't let it get you down. But I will say this, may it be done by those who hate God and those who are not our brothers and sisters in the faith and not our own fellow believers. Let it be from someone else, but not something we would do to one another. I'm thinking of a brother here shared with me, I was visiting certain church, and afterwards he hung around for a long time. There was hardly anybody left. He shared with me from his heart the lies that had been told about him. And this was not something that just recently happened. This was a ways back. The grief in his heart, the tears. I was disturbed. Now he's got to deal with that. God can help him through it. The injustice of it. But I'll say this, what a shame. What a shame for believers in Christ Jesus to do to one another. So, lack of wisdom and good judgment, not an awareness of what we're saying. Number two, malicious intent. Number three, we find pleasure in spreading bad news. There are people that actually enjoy spreading bad news. Now, there's a scripture that touches this. It's a little different context, but it actually applies to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, talks about those that had pleasure in unrighteousness. When you actually take pleasure in doing that which is not right, it's not good for you. Number four, why do people do these things? It makes them feel superior to those that they are slandering. When I make you look bad, I think it makes me look better. Okay? I don't do what this person does. I would never do that. I've never done such a thing. But he did this, and he did that. You think you're lifting yourself up. But the reality is not so. What you are revealing is that there is a problem that you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 tells us that it's not good, I'm paraphrasing, to compare ourselves among ourselves. When I look at you and say, I'm better than you, whether it's true or false is totally irrelevant. What I should be looking at is the Lord Jesus Christ and His will and purpose for my life and seeing, am I actually doing it? Am I actually faithful to God and doing His will? Number five, there is a defect in a person's heart and character. We talked about this at the beginning. Matthew 15, 19, Jesus says this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and so on. In closing, we want to look at this question. Is it ever appropriate to speak about the faults and the sins and the negative things of other people? Is it ever appropriate to do that? The answer is yes, it is. There are times, there are situations where there are things that have to be discussed and there are things that have to be dealt with. Bible talks about where sin has to be confronted. It has to be addressed, sometimes in a public way. I would say this is just some general advice. How do we know when it's appropriate to do that? Well, here's a good rule of thumb. Are you part of the problem? If you're part of the problem, then you have some right to be discussing it. Are you part of the solution? It's not my problem, but I actually am being pulled in here to try to help to get something resolved. Okay, then it can be appropriate. Is there a need to know? There are some things that are negative that there's a need for people to know about. The Bible talks about that there are certain people, Scripture talks about, for example, those that cause divisions and offenses, Scripture says. They're to be marked. So there's a marking that occurs where everyone knows this is a divisive person. Okay, don't get involved. There are situations like that. But I guess the question we should ask ourselves is this. Do I have a legitimate reason to be discussing these things? And in my heart, is it actually for some good and proper motive? Is there something good I expect to come out of this? Think about it. Even so, in these sorts of situations, we have to be very careful. We have to use discretion in what we say and how we handle other people. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, I mentioned earlier. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A question for you to consider. Are you bringing death or are you bringing life to other people as you speak to them and as you speak about them? Let's be slow to speak. Brothers and sisters, let's be careful that the words that we are speaking are true and that they are being spoken with the proper motives so that God can use our speech for something good and something beneficial. God bless you as you consider what the Scripture teaches on this subject. And we'll leave it with him and you so that you can meditate on it and God will guide you as you follow him. God bless you, brothers and sisters.